Flourishing Mama. All information shared on this podcast relating to specific conditions, health care, preventative care, and healthy lifestyles is presented for general informational purposes only. This podcast is for educational purposes. Today, we will be speaking with Roger Elliott. Roger is a retired livestock farms agent with the University of Florida Escambia County Extension Service. Roger is a wealth of knowledge regarding pasture-raised animals and environmentally friendly, sustainable farming. Hey, Emily.
Hey, Melanie.
So, Emily, tell me about this new meal planning that you've been sharing on your blog.
You know, the beginning of the new year, I decided to do something a little bit different, not just for me, but for any of my followers. So every weekend, I've kind of come up with a meal plan for the week, and I prep all of my groceries, get all of my meat, make sure I have all of my ingredients at the farmer's market, and then I get my meal plan set up for the week so that when I come home from work, the food's either already cooking in the crock pot or it's ready to be cooked and ready to go. So there's very little time left in the kitchen when I get home. So it's working out fabulous for me.
That's awesome. So do tell, did some of Roger's lamb make it onto your meal plan?
Every week we're having lamb. Yes, I have some of Roger's wonderful lamb. And this tonight, actually, when we get home, we're having lamb chops for dinner. So I can't wait to try them out.
Ooh, yum.
Roger, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
Wonderful.
Thank you for asking. It's been a loving January temperature, just a chance to relax a bit.
It certainly has. Tell me, how did you become a farmer after working in the field of high education?
Well, actually, this is my third career. I spent 20 years in the Navy flying helicopters, which seems unrelated, but it actually does. And then I worked for 13 years with the University of Florida as an extension agent, working with small farms and livestock. And I got to a point where I decided rather than teaching farmers, I'd just be one. So
yeah.
I did some research and decided I would go into the type of farming that we're doing now.
Awesome. So tell us about some of your pasture-raised animals. I've been to your farm and I've done your farm tour, and I've seen some things there that I have not seen on any other farms, like your eggmobile. So tell us about some of your pasture-raised animals.
Okay, well, let's start with the chickens. We got into those. My son was living in Nicaragua, and I was eating chicken there in the restaurants, and I realized how flavorful it was. So when I did some research, I realized that they were just feeding them different. So I did some more research here and discovered a guy in Virginia by the name of Joel Salton, who is like the pastured poultry guru. And so we've modeled many parts of our farm the way he farms. And with our chickens, our laying hens, we put those in eggmobiles. We call them eggmobiles because they're mobile. We move them all around the farm, and the chickens lay their eggs in them, so therefore eggmobile. And we move them around the farm because then they can access grass, fresh grass year-round, and also their droppings are scattered throughout the farm, fertilizing the grass, which later will graze the sheep where the chickens have been, and the chicken fertilizer has fertilized the grass and made it grow. And everything is related to something else on the farm.
Wow. Now, Emily and I both have your lamb stocked in our freezer, and it's one of my favorite meats of yours. And tell us what you're feeding the lamb.
The lambs are on pasture, and that is the most of their feed. We do feed them sprouted oats, and we feed them sprouted oats because once they're sprouted, it's considered a grass. But that supplements their grass, particularly in the seasons when I don't have a real good grass production, like right now. And also the sprouted oats gives the meat, I think it enhances the flavor. The grass fed is good, and some of those lambs that are harvested are strictly on grass at the times of the year when I have good grass production, and other times with the sprouted oats, it's really tasty. It's so much fun to deal with a customer who says, I think I like the flavor of the fat on the lamb as much as the meat.
Yeah.
Well, it really does have a nice flavor, and it adds a great broth for making other meals, too.
It does. I have bone broth, lamb broth cooking in my crock pot right now as well. There's so many benefits to someone that eats healthy food. Did you or your family experience anything different when you changed your diet to become more natural or pastured meat?
We did. And Emily, it's as you've probably experienced with some of your contacts, too, and maybe personally, it's such a individual process, and it's a slow process. You pick out one item or one area of your health that you want to deal with, or one food thing, one area. And for me, it was I had put on a little extra weight, and I decided I would cut back on sugar. And a big way to do that, I almost eliminated sodas and a lot of other desserts that would have a lot of sugar in them. And within just a short time, I noticed a huge decrease in the amount of pain that I had with the osteoarthritis in my thumbs. And the added benefit was I dropped 20 pounds. So that was just one area. And the other areas there, we really watch preservatives. I'm really concerned about food dyes and anything that's processed with preservatives. A lot of those things just doesn't. I'd rather have something fresh and without those. Some of those may be okay. I think some of the research, some of those areas, has not been the long-term test results to see how they do affect our body. And there are just so many things going on with chronic diseases in our culture that it's got to be coming from our food supply. And for me, eating locally, natural, healthy, preservative, additive, no additives, it just makes sense to me. And I'm trying to provide that for my customers.
Absolutely. It is so important to have a natural diet with as much local, fresh, preservative-free, chemical-free food as possible.
And I love it that you said, just make one change at a time. I think that's something that most people can wrap their mind around of, okay, I'm just going to eat less sugar, or maybe I'm going to start getting raw local milk, or maybe I'm just going to switch and start making sure my greens are organic. So there's always that one little step that kind of gets your foot in the doorway, and then once you manage that, then you've created that habit and you can just go on to creating other habits. So I thought that was a really good tip that you shared. Now, Roger, you do own a small family farm, and there can be some challenges in that, but there also is, I'm sure, some benefits. So can you go over with us some challenges of having a small family farm?
Well, there are challenges, and some of that is it's tough to get away from the farm to do leisure things, and we've been able to deal with that in ways like for our recreation. We decided, since we were tied to the farm so closely, it was really hard to get away, that we would have horses. So a lot of our recreation is with horseback riding. We can go for an hour or two on a horseback ride locally, where it would take us several hours to go into Pensacola for a movie and dinner, but yet we can take off and still maintain our do our chores that would be required that day. Another area that is having family here, my daughter and son-in-law have become more and more involved in the farm and are now living on the farm. And that's really freed us up to be able to do other things and go visit grandchildren in another state, or again, just go see a movie. So that's really been helpful with having them there. And they bring some added skills to the farm, too. My daughter's a veterinarian, so she's involved with the animal health on the farm. My son-in-law is a photographer and website design type guy, and he really adds a lot to our Facebook page and our website and dealing with some of the modern technology that I'm not quite as up on as he is.
Oh, and his photography is amazing. I encourage anyone, I'm going to also share this website at the end, but your website is greenseedersfarm.com, and before I took my nephew to your farm, I took him to your website because you have the most amazing farm pictures. I mean, they're just so beautiful and professional. You'd think the animals were almost staged, but they're just living in their healthy, happy environment. So definitely encourage everyone to check out the pictures on the website.
Well, thank you. We really enjoy keeping those up for people. And for those that like to be on our Facebook page, we often post. We have new animals that are born and those type of things. We'll usually post those on our Facebook page.
Awesome.
Okay, Roger. We had rabbit at my house from your farm a couple months ago, and it was fantastic. So are there going to be any more rabbits or other animals that we can expect you to bring to the market in the future?
We're continuing the rabbit. We're growing slowly with that. I don't want to surpass my market, but you're right. It is incredibly good. We feed them just a standard rabbit ration, but we also supplement them with a local legume hay, and it's called perennial peanut. It's a forage-type peanut. It has no nuts on it. It just strictly forages it. It's a very high-quality, similar to alfalfa, and I think that's really helping us with our taste on that. And as far as other species, we've been selling our lamb either whole or half to our customers. And this sometime in the next year, in 2014, we're looking at bringing lamb to the Palafox Farmers Market by the cut. We'll offer leg of lamb, ground lamb, some ground mutton, and some of the other cuts on a per-piece sale. So we're looking forward to that. A lot of our customers don't have freezers or small freezers, and this will really expand our market, we think.
And then you also sell chicken and pork by the cut as well. Is that all that you sell?
We do, and we offer turkeys for Thanksgiving. Okay. And this past year we had two different kinds of turkeys. We had the midget white, which is a smaller turkey. They dress from 8 to 15 pounds, and then we have the standard broad-breasted white that will go from about 14 to 28 pounds. And both of those, we had customers wanting both of those, so that worked out real good for us.
Well, I encourage anybody to try all of Roger's meat, because I've tried all of it, and it's all fantastic. And I'm sure Melanie has tried all of it as well, and it's you can't get much better. It's fantastic.
And we've talked a lot about our meats, but we also do the eggs, and I haven't mentioned that, but when we got into this, we discovered that the research showed that when chickens are raised on pasture and they have access to grass, the nutrients in the eggs skyrocket, 6 to 10 times higher than the standard USDA cage layer egg data. And it's the taste is phenomenal. You can see it in the color. You break an egg out, it has a bright yellow or even an orange color to it. And they're just it just ruins you. I tell my customers that they're addicting, and I look forward to seeing them every week at the Palafox Market because they're so good.
Oh, they're so delicious. I love to actually... What I do is I crack them in a skillet, into a hot skillet, and then I put them in my oven at 350 degrees for 4 minutes, and it is the perfect soft yolk. The white is just cooked, the yolk is still runny, and your eggs are so delicious. And I think that's, you know, one basic step that anyone could make, even towards their health. I mean, this could be a foodie person or just someone wanting to make a health change, is start getting local pastured eggs. And Roger's probably be the ones where I would say to start, because, I mean, they taste so good and they're just so good for you. Now, people can actually come to your farm, Roger, and see, you know, this almost ecosystem in action. And you have small groups come and school kids. So what kinds of things will people see and do when they come to your farm for the farm tours?
We love to have the school kids come, as well as family groups. And I think probably with my experience with extension and working with youth and with older farmers, I'm very comfortable working with all ages. So I enjoy educating people concerning their food and where it comes from. So when kids come to the farm, we'll usually start it out. We'll talk about the eggs and how eggs hatch. We'll let the kids get some hands-on with some baby chicks. We'll bring out an older chicken and talk about some of the body parts. And the comb and the wattle and the earlobes and why those are important. We'll do a walk about the farm and look at the various animals. We usually have baby animals, either lambs or pigs or both. And then we'll talk a little bit about, you know, how we farm and why that's important. I like to talk to the kids about chicken poop and how it fertilizes the grass. And most kids don't get to talk about poop so much at school, so that's a real good attention-getting thing for that. And I was so amazed. About a few months ago, I was at an event, and a child came up, and it was a second grader, and she'd been to the farm as a first grader, and she said, "Oh, I remember you, Farmer Roger. I remember that chicken poop makes grass grow." So I think I'm meeting my educational goals when the kids come out and learn more than just, this is a chicken, and it goes cluck, cluck.
Now, when we were there, you had this ginormous pig, and my sister called it the dinosaur pig in all of our pictures. Do you still have that pig?
I'm not sure which one that was. They come and go, and right now we're raising Hereford hogs. It's an old heritage breed, and we're transitioning. We only have one of our breeding females that's not 100% Hereford right now, and they're called Hereford because they're red and white. They look like the Hereford cattle. They were developed here in the United States in the early 1900s, and they almost went out of existence, and a few breeders kept them going, and we're members of the American Livestock Breed Conservancy trying to save some of the old livestock breeds, and that's the breed we've chosen to help preserve. And we preserve those by using them on the farm like they were intended to start with, so they make really delicious pork. They do well on pasture. They have real good dispositions. I don't worry about the mothers being overly aggressive and that type of thing. So we're really happy with that breed, and we're glad we can do our little part to help preserve the breed.
Well, we are so lucky to have you in our area, Roger, and we so appreciate you sharing with us today. And I encourage everyone to find Roger's website, which is greencedarsfarm.com, and I also encourage you to find his Facebook page, Green Cedars Farm, or you can also check in with him most Saturdays at the Palafox Market. And if you're interested in being interviewed on our podcast or have questions for us, please email us at thenourishingpodcast@gmail.com or check out our respective websites, thegreciangarden.com and nourishingmama.blogspot.com.